You are listening to WT Port Washington. I'm Josh White.
I'm Matt Kramer.
And this is not the Friday morning sports show, surprisingly.
This is the first edition of the year of Sports Talk for Dummies.
It is. We're coming back. We're going back one issue. So
this is a throwback for old time's sake.
Matt.
And senior experience sake.
I know from the days of kindergarten, we learned how to count the months. January, February, and we're in March now. Right? We're in March. And I hear that March is pretty crazy. Some madness takes place.
March is madness.
March is madness. So obviously we're talking about March Madness today. And you look at this college basketball season, and you look at it, and there's no Kentucky from last year that undefeated heading into the tournament. There's no Gonzaga type that only loses two games. There's no clear favorite.
There's no clear-cut favorite this year, which makes the tournament so interesting.
So that's what we're going to get into today, and we're going to figure out who we think the best chances of winning this thing is, who our best favorites are, a couple of our sleepers, and we'll be on our way.
Well, here, Josh, let's just go for a clarification. What do we say is a sleeper for, like a Final Four or a championship game? Was it anything like below what seed?
I would say usually you're seeing these seeds that make it to the Final Four usually are top four seeds.
Yes, okay. So we're on the same page.
So usually.
Elite eight, top five or six.
Top five or six occasionally happens. Very rarely. But it does happen. So let's start, Matt. What I like as my... I think this is a very interesting team. Wichita State. Now, they're in a little bit of a problem. They have to win today first to even get into the first round. They're in the first four. So they have to beat Vanderbilt.
They got a bit of a rough draw, but, you know, it's better than a lot of teams like a Monmouth.
That's true.
At least they got into the field.
Matt, they got to beat this Vanderbilt team that, in my opinion, doesn't get enough credit. But if you look at this Wichita State team, it's pretty much, they still have the same core.
It just screams experience.
It screams experience, and it's the same core from the last 5 years now.
Van Fleet, I mean, what has he been here for, like 10 years?
Van Fleet and Baker.
Yeah, Baker's there too.
So, they're still there.
You know, that team, if they end up pulling off this, pulling off a win today, I could see a nice little upset in the first round there. That would be one of my favorites to pull off. Okay, are we calling 8s, 9s upsets?
No, not really. That's not really an upset.
Because, I mean, UConn is definitely going to beat Colorado.
I love that, too, but then they're going to get stomped by Kansas.
Yes.
But let's go back to this Wichita State thing. If we've seen Wichita State the last couple of years, and like we're saying, they have a bunch of experience on that team. If they get past Vanderbilt for the playing game, which most people think they will, but I wouldn't count Vanderbilt out so quick. They're a very good team. They have one insanely good player. But if they beat Vanderbilt, then they have to square off against Arizona. Now, we all heard about it this year. The Pac-12, amazing.
I've felt you shouldn't buy into a conference like the Pac-12 so quickly.
I absolutely agree with you. I honestly think it's overrated, but that's very overrated.
I don't think they deserved seven teams in the tournament.
That's for another day. So if we had Wichita State, Arizona, I would think Wichita State's going to win, in my opinion.
I agree. I have that as an upset.
And then they would most likely get paired with Miami.
Unless a miracle happens.
And Buffalo.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. No, that's not happening.
Nice try.
That one's not going to happen. But what's interesting about this, now Miami's a very, very good team. They played in the rigorous ACC, and they had a conference record of 13-5.
And again, very respectable in the ACC.
That's very respectable. Their only conference losses coming to... They lost to Virginia twice, okay? But they beat Virginia once, so that's reasonable. Lost to Carolina once. And...
Duke?
They split with Duke. But that's really the only, like, four of those five losses. Those are very excusable. Now, they're a very good team against the top 25. Very good team.
Well, because they play so many in their conference.
Exactly. So, that if if Wichita State was to get there and win that first round matchup against Arizona, do you think they stand a chance against Miami?
I think they stand a chance, not a great one. You know, they don't have that core that they have. They don't have a majority of the core. They still have Van Fleet and Baker, but they don't have Cle'Anthony Early or any of those guys still left. So, you know, this would be a tough one, but I don't see it happening. Miami's really talented down low. They got a bunch of nice big guys. They got some good guards to bring the ball up, play some good offense. And they don't really rely on their jump shooting too much, which is key in the tournament to winning games. You need to rely more on your defense and the high percentage shots rather than going for the threes and stuff like that. Because a lot of those teams don't do too well, like a Creighton or, in my opinion, this year in Oklahoma.
Matt, sticking in that region just for one more minute, if we look at, right, Kansas is the one, and they are by far the favorite to win that region. But, and it's probably the weakest of the regions if you look at it overall. You got Villanova at the two, Miami at the three, Cal and Maryland rounding out the top five. Is there really any possibility of another team coming out of there? You've seen Maryland in the past years.
Yeah,
they're spoiled,
you know,
when they get to the tournament.
You know, I see a lot of a few other teams coming out of there. You know, I actually see Maryland losing in the first round. I don't see them going anywhere. That team is way too inconsistent for me. They rely too much on their jump shooting. They rely too much on their offense. They don't play great defense. You know, they let their emotions get to them. Like a guy like Diamond Stone, he gets very emotional. He, you know, makes some rash decisions, and things escalate from there. But, you know,
Matt, let me tell you something about this Maryland team. It gets a bad rap, right? It gets a terrible rap. But if you look at it, it kind of has the same build, and it's obviously nowhere close in comparison. I don't think they're going to do as well because they don't have the experience. But you look at that Duke team last year, the ability to put the ball on the floor, but also have that presence down low. They have that on this Maryland team.
But here's the thing. I see a team like Cal coming out of there. Because they're so athletic. Although they are young and inexperienced in the NCAA tournament, that team is really starting to gel at the right time. They're 10-2 in their last 12 games.
9-3,
okay. I'm just checking right now.
But
they have some really nice players on that team. Jaylen Brown's a fantastic player. Yvonne Robb, power forward. That's huge to have big guys that can produce for you in the tournament. Because big guys in the middle, that prevents key points. You know, those points really come back to haunt you. You'd rather let a team shoot threes over and over again rather than getting inside and getting high percentage shots in the paint.
Matt, really, out of that team, I really don't see it. You look at some of the games they played. They split with Oregon, which is respectable. They lost to Virginia when they met Virginia. Cal somehow lost 2 out of 3 to Utah. They split with Arizona.
You know, these are all tournament teams.
But that's the problem. They're too inconsistent for me. If they may beat Maryland, you're right about that, but then they're gonna play Kansas next. And if they somehow get past Kansas, they're going to be playing in the Elite Eight against probably Villanova, Miami, something like that.
You know, I don't know. I don't think Maryland's getting out of the first round. That's my bold prediction for that region. I think South Dakota State's going to beat them. That team looks pretty good right now. But if Cal beats Hawaii, which they should, and Hawaii is a popular upset team right now, but
only one really good win under their belt for Hawaii, just beating Northern Iowa by double digits.
But if Cal should then beat San Diego State, South Dakota State, and then Cal matches up with Kansas. If Cal beats Kansas, that's the biggest game of the tournament for them, by far. Because if they beat Kansas, they'll be riding high into an Elite Eight matchup with, in my opinion, Miami. I don't think Villanova's going anywhere deep. They should beat the 15 seed UNC Asheville. But other than that, I think either Iowa or Temple is going to beat them. I think if Uthoff heats up for Iowa, if Iowa beats Temple and Uthoff is heating up, that would be huge for Iowa, and that would be just bad news for Villanova. Villanova is not big. They don't have a big front court presence. They don't have anyone in the paint protecting the middle.
The only problem with Iowa, and at first when I looked at the bracket, I loved them, and I thought, yeah, that was going to be a great upset beating Nova. Iowa has completely crumbled the second half of the year. They're 5-7 in their last 12.
In my opinion, the Big Ten is the best conference in college basketball. They got robbed, only getting 6 teams into the tournament. But a team like Iowa is so lethal at a 7. You know, that team was a top 5 team at some point in the season. You know, it's just like A&M was up there. You know, that team was very back and forth. But just sticking with this region and this team, that team could, if that team heats up at the right time, they'll be scary.
Matt, you know what? Since 1985, you know what the records 2 versus 7s are?
What?
53-20.
You know, 7s pull off a decent amount of upsets.
That's 72.6% of the time the 2 wins. So that pretty much mathematically, you might have 1 pulley upset this year. And it could be Iowa. Now,
just under 3/4 of the time a 2 beats a 7.
Now, while this is somewhat most of the cut-clear region, why don't we come over to the West now? And Oregon got that 1. Some people, a little controversial there. But they didn't get the easiest pairing there. They got Oklahoma there. They got Texas A&M, who I not like to go deep, but I think they're underrated. You got Duke, who got a 4, who, you know, Coach K can turn it on at any moment. So, Matt, who do you like from this region?
From this region, I like Texas A&M. Again, I'm a big fan of big guys in the tournament. Last year with Duke and Jahlil Okafor, Jahlil played great defense in the middle, and they got great offense out of Tyus Jones getting to the basket. He didn't have to rely on jump shots. But Oklahoma, in my opinion, has to rely on jump shots from Buddy Hield. He's the best player in the country right now. I think he should win the Wooden Award. But a team that relies on jump shots in the tournament typically does not do well. So A&M really works the ball down low. They play great defense, and they score a lot of points in the paint. You know, they outscore almost every opponent in the paint this season. So a team like that, I could see going deep because they're more consistent. You know, it's more reliable to hit these post shots and these layups than threes. And this region, to me, is like, it could be a very strong region, and it could be the weakest one, in my opinion, because Oregon was the most dicey one, and then Oklahoma, jump shooting team, could not get knocked out early. I don't see them going too deep.
Matt, could you see Oklahoma losing in the second round to a VCU, Oregon State, whoever wins that game?
I think VCU is going to pull that out. But I don't know if I see it happening that much, but I think that'll be a close game. I wouldn't be shocked if it did happen, but I would think Oklahoma would beat VCU. But I think if Oklahoma runs into A&M, they're going to be in a lot of trouble. And I think Baylor is also a team that could give people a lot of trouble if they start playing well at the right time of the year. Baylor's a very athletic team. They're very big. They're not undersized like a team like Villanova, although not in this region. But that's a team that if they heat up and play well at the right time of the year, that could be a big team.
Matt, again, about this region, you look at Baylor reminds me of Iowa in the other region. Completely folded second half of the year, 5-7 in their last 12. And they're going up against Yale, who most people think Ivy League team, whatever, not going to do anything. And you look at this Yale team, and they actually have some NBA, they have an NBA player on it. Justin Sears, probably second round pick, but still, very solid player. And I really could see that happening. Now, you look at this, and you just said it yourself, that this might be one of the more open regions as well. Because you have Oklahoma, and who knows what that could do.
Yeah, that's a very open region, but
And right now in my bracket, I have Oklahoma going in the Final Four. But knowing Coach K and Duke and the somewhat experience they have on that team, they would have to beat. They got to get past first round. They're going to get past UNC Wilmington, yes? Right?
I would hope so.
Then they're going to play Baylor or Yale. You think Baylor, I think Yale. And they should win that game. Baylor does not play well against tough teams. They're 2-9 in the top 25.
But season. Again, Duke crumbles.
Duke does crumble. But here's the thing.
Duke is another jump shooting team this year. Grayson Allen, if he throws another hissy fit, then that just, he's the main player on that team. He's the best player on that roster.
Matt, you either love them or you hate them. That's been Duke their entire life. But you look at this, and they would get, we're fast-forwarding to the Sweet 16, and they would be matched up with Oregon, right? They'd be matched up with Oregon if they get by Baylor and whoever they need to get by. And they would be matched up with Oregon, and this would be the second weekend. So the one problem that everyone doesn't like about Duke is that they don't have much depth.
Size, too.
They would be rested. They got Brandon Ingram, Matt. He's a pretty big dude.
Yeah, but they don't have depth. Depth, and they have Brandon Ingram, and they have Plumlee. That's really it. That's it for size, and they don't have much depth. That's not a deep roster. They go seven deep after Matt Jones got hurt and Emil Jefferson got hurt. That bench does not go very far. Coach K only pulls off two guys.
Matt Jones is now back, so they have that, and they have the experience from last year with Grayson Allen, Matt Jones, and Plumlee all going to the ship. So I really wouldn't count Duke out yet. Now we only have, we're almost getting towards the end of the show, and we still got two more regions to cover. So we're going to get over to those two, and then we're going to do our final four predictions.
By the way, calling it here, I would not be shocked if UNC Wilmington pulled off an upset.
I would not be shocked. And we may, after this show, we may talk about that one between the two of us, off the record about certain things. But we're going to the East now. UNC, the one seed. No surprise there, they're getting a one seed.
But now, this is a more interesting bracket. This is pretty open because you have a lot of good teams. You know, a lot of these brackets, there are a lot of just weak teams and just one strong one. But, you know, you go UNC, Providence could win a game or two. Providence
is not bad.
They'd
have to beat UNC, though. That's the only problem.
Yeah, they run into UNC after their first game.
They got a little, if they had a better seed, I would love them deeper. But they got to play UNC in the second round. Probably not going to happen. But you look at this. You got Xavier, who's, in my opinion, just okay. They're probably going to prove themselves. You got West Virginia, nicknamed Press Virginia. You got Kentucky, who, obviously, Kentucky every year with Calipari. You got Indiana. And I'm even going to go down to Notre Dame and Wisconsin. The sixes and the sevens right there. This could be a very interesting
region. I think this is the weakest two, or, you know, the one of the weaker two seeds. I think Villanova's a bit of a weak two seed. They deserved it too, but they're a bit weak because of their size. But Xavier is a strong basketball team. They have a lot of size down low. But also, they lost to a Seton Hall team by double digits in the Big East tournament. So, I don't know how deep that team is going to go. I could see Wisconsin, another team with a lot of experience, pulling off an upset in the second round if they beat Pitt. But Jamie Dixon's Pitt team, that's a good team. I wouldn't be surprised if Pitt won that game, but they shouldn't.
I think Wisco gets past Pitt, and then I think they're going to give Xavier a run for their money, and they really could run away with that game. And you could really see in the Sweet 16, you could see Notre Dame, the 6th seed, versus Wisconsin, the 7, probably playing against the winner of UNC-Kentucky, most likely.
You know, Kentucky, I think, will beat Indiana. I could see Indiana losing in the first round, but that's not likely. But I think Kentucky, with Tyler Ulis and Jamal Murray, is arguably the best backcourt in this tournament.
And that's what wins you the tournament.
That's what wins you the tournament.
Late in the game, that strong backcourt. Now we're going to finish off with the Midwest and do our final predictions here. You got UVA and Michigan State, really the only two teams people are really talking about this in this region, and for good reason.
You know, people are only really talking about those teams, but they have a lot of sleepers. Purdue, I think Purdue, that was disrespect, giving them a 5. That team played well. That was a good team down the stretch. They made a nice run in the Big Ten tournament. They've beaten some respectable teams, and I think the best conference in college basketball.
Another
team that funnels the ball down low. A.J. Hammonds has been a great player for them. All Big Ten, you know, a team like North Carolina just beat Virginia by utilizing Bryce Johnson and Kennedy Meeks. You know, if Purdue utilizes A.J. Hammonds the right way, if they meet Virginia, I could see Purdue pulling that game off. Man, and Seton Hall is also looking pretty hot. But
man, I could see a tough matchup with the Zags. But I don't see Seton Hall, especially if they had to play Utah in the second round. Underrated team right there. But we're thinking it's probably UVA, Michigan State, maybe Purdue from this region.
It may be Purdue. I don't see Purdue going to the Final Four, but you know, I see that as a nice team going pretty deep, winning a few games.
Okay, Matt, right now, Final Four, here we go. Your Final Four, just give me the teams.
Cal, A&M, UNC, Michigan State.
Okay, my Final Four, after the show, might have changed a little bit. I'm still going to stick. Michigan State, UNC.
Okay.
We're together on the same page. And probably Miami.
All right.
And
all right, I respect that.
Miami and Oklahoma.
Okay, respectable.
And really the only reason that I'm taking a team that's not Kansas is because for them to win the tournament, they got to win 20 straight games. And they're on a 15-game winning streak now, and that's hard to do. So we're really going to see how this unfolds.
You know, Kentucky lost last year. Kentucky went in winning like 20 straight games or something nuts. Look what happened
Kentucky
to them.
Undefeated.
They faltered.
Matt, who's winning the national championship? Last 15 seconds right here.
Michigan State over A&M.
I agree with you. I think it's going to be Michigan State. The only team that I think might cause trouble for them is they got to get past UVA in the Elite Eight and then potentially UNC. But Valentine,
you got to get past two possible ones because those are two very strong
Valentine
ones.
Valentine is the best player in the nation right now, and he's going to lead his team.
I think in the tournament he'll be the best player.
Absolutely. And this team's got
experience
now.
Over the course of the season, you could argue Buddy Hield, but I think Denzel's going to be the best player in this tournament.
That's been it. This has been our March Madness preview. We're going to take a look at this once again towards the end of the tournament, Matt. Thank you for listening.